What would be good news to you, to our city? What headline would you like to see in the Toledo Blade? Think about that. In fact, just take a moment. Just talk to a person next to you. This isn't going to be a long thing, but I want you to just share, like, what would be good news? What would you like to see in tomorrow's headline? I don't even think they publish on Monday, except digitally. But hypothetically, if we actually had a newspaper to read tomorrow morning, what would you like to see in tomorrow's headline? Right now, take 30 seconds. Go. If you're online, talk to someone there. What would be good news? Okay, just out of curiosity, did anyone say the 49ers or the Chiefs? Raise your hand. Did anyone say that? One or two. Okay. Sorry, I know we wanted the Lions and the Browns. Maybe next year. Okay. So here's the thing. I asked this question, what would be good news? What would you like to see in the Blade? I asked this question several years ago when I was working on my doctoral thesis to some of the key leaders in Toledo. And it was really amazing to just listen to what they thought would be good news. We all love good news, right? When you get good news, you like to share it, right? In 1985, there was a movie called Brewster's Millions. Monty Brewster, a minor league baseball player, had to choose. He had this option between taking in $1 million inheritance, which would be a pretty good deal up front, or he could exchange that for a $30 million payout with a catch. So $1 million cash or $30 million payout. And here's the catch. He can't give it away. He's given $30 million and he has to spend it in 30 days. He can't give it away except for 5% to charity, 5% in gambling losses. But perhaps most challenging, he has to spend all this money in order to get all this money. But he can't tell anybody about it. It has to be a total secret. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. It'd be easy to spend $30 million, especially if I knew I was going to get this huge payout. But the thought of not being able to tell a single soul, not being able to share the good news, I think would drive me absolutely crazy. In fact, I struggle. I'm good at keeping secrets, but I don't like to keep secrets. I'm a pretty, like, what you see is what you get kind of person. I'm just not into playing games and hiding stuff and all that. When I got married, well, actually, when I met Heather, she told me, she said, I always get ripped off at Christmas, my birthday, really for my birthday, because my birthday is on December 30th, and everyone gives me these combo gifts for December 25th and December 30th. Some of you that have those late December birthdays, you know what I'm talking about. And so I made a decision as soon as I met her. I said, I will never get her a dual gift. I could tell this was like a really big deal to her. And so each year I would get all these gifts and I would set some aside for Christmas and I would set some aside for her birthday. But I hate surprise. I hate secrets so much that every year I would give her all those birthday gifts on Christmas. So she would get a double dip and then I'd have to start all over again and I had 5 days to buy her gifts. This is how much I hate secrets and surprises. I mean, I like to receive surprises, but yeah, just keeping secrets is really, really hard for me. Generally speaking, I don't like secrets, especially when it involves good news. And family, good news needs to be shared. Good news needs to be shared. Tomorrow there's going to be all sorts of people in Kansas City or San Francisco. I'm not sure which, but they're going to be sharing lots of really good news and hopefully not doing any destructive things. But good news needs to be shared. Today, we've been talking and singing about stories, our story, hearing stories of what's going on in the Dominican Republic. And your story is his story, and it needs to be shared. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, I thank you for good news. I thank you that you are the author of good news. In fact, Your word says that every good and perfect gift is from above. And so we gather today to worship you, to praise you, to give you thanks and celebrate who you are. We do this week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, because you never fail. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I pray, Lord, that you would use my words today to inspire, to challenge, to transform for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So good news needs to be shared. You know, church people talk about this word gospel. And gospel simply means good news. I thought it'd be awkward to go to people, leaders in our community, and say, hey, what do you think the gospel would be in Toledo? Because most of them would be like, what in the world are you talking about? But everybody understands good news. Your coworkers, your next door neighbors, your friends and family, everybody understands good news, and good news needs to be shared. And so when we talk about the good news, when we talk about the gospel, they're really the exact same thing. Many of the people, when I asked them what would be good news, these are some of the things that they said. They spoke of jobs, safety, and health. Are those good things? Do we like to have more of that in Toledo? One person agrees with that. Okay. The rest of you, I don't know. But see, ultimately, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, addresses all the things that we would consider good news in our culture today. Does God care about the homeless? Absolutely. Does he care about safety in our streets? Of course. Does he want to see our children educated and not drop out? Absolutely. See, Jesus is the gospel. If I were to describe the gospel, the good news, in one word, it would be Jesus. If you want three, Jesus is Lord. And a lot of people don't know that Jesus is Lord. A lot of people don't realize that Jesus Christ is on the throne. And while the Toledo Blade might not give you that impression, the reality is that God is the blessed controller of all things. He is sovereign in control, which raises all sorts of really challenging questions for us. If he's in control, then why did blank? Or why does blank? Someday we'll have a better picture and a better understanding of the trials and the suffering and the calamity that we all experience every day. See, he's allowed another being that we often call Satan to play some games and tricks and do some things that, again, we don't really understand. Recently, reading through the book of Job again gave me a little bit of insight into this relationship between God and Satan. By the way, they're not peers in any way, shape, or form. Jesus is infinitely more powerful than Satan. But for reasons we don't always understand, God allows evil in our world for this moment in history. And ultimately, he will redeem all evil for his good, for his glory. But Jesus is Lord, and that is the gospel. That is good news. Jesus is king, and he wants all humanity to submit to his lordship, not because he wants to oppress us, but rather because he wants to liberate us. We've been singing this morning about freedom. We can have freedom from sin and from death and anxiety and fear because Jesus is Lord. He wants to be Lord of your life and mine every day, every moment, and sometimes we actually let him. The last recorded words in Matthew's gospel, his biography of Jesus, begin with this. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus is Lord. This is the gospel. This is the good news. He's been given all authority. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus is Lord, he has all authority. He can commission his friends to go. The original Greek word here is poroneme. It means to traverse, to travel, to depart, to go. We can't do it from our lazy boy recliners, family. And I like my lazy boy recliner. We must take action. We must move. We must go. And this is the calling of every follower of Jesus. This is the commission of every disciple of Jesus, which begs the question, what is a disciple? Is it another one of those churchy words? If I could describe disciple in one word, it would be this: apprentice. It's a student. I often hear about how this football coach is a disciple of this football coach. He used to be an assistant under this head coach, and he's a disciple. And some of the really great football coaches have multiple disciples that are now coaching different teams in various places around the country. There's like a legacy. They were apprentices. They studied under this wise teacher. It was not uncommon in Jesus' day for people to go to a rabbi and say, "Will you disciple me? Can I be a student, an apprentice under you? Will you mentor me?" is maybe a more common word that we often think of. It's interesting to me how Jesus chose his 12 disciples rather than they choosing him. The only way that we can make a disciple, as it says here, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples," is for us to be a disciple. You can't reproduce what you aren't. And we naturally reproduce what we are. Who is discipling you? Who are you discipling? Do they know it? The family, generally speaking, this can't happen on Sunday morning. See, if this is our mission, if this is what we're all about making disciples, we use a different phraseology, but it means exactly the same thing: restoring God's masterpieces. We have to think about, are we actually doing that? For many, church, following Jesus, Christianity, religion, faith, whatever, it boils down to staying awake for 30 minutes during a sermon on Sunday morning. I hope you all make it today. As I like to say, it's okay to sleep, just don't snore loudly. But see, Jesus didn't come. This whole thing that we're about is more than this gathering on Sunday morning. This is a really important gathering. This is when the family comes together. We worship, we pray, we do life together. But the real measure of your maturity as a follower of Jesus, the real test of your disciple capability, is what happens when you leave this place. Who are you discipling? Who is discipling you? So what's the first step to being a disciple? This process, this spiritual formation process. By the way, Richard Bush, he uses this phrase, and he said, "Spiritual formation is slow, it's incremental, it's over time, it's with others, and it's for others," which is why your spiritual life cannot be restricted to a one-hour spiritual diet pill on Sunday morning. If this is all you're experiencing, you're going to be malnourished. A lot of people think church is all about an hour on Sunday, and we're glad you're here, and this is an important hour, but the other 167 matter too. It takes time. It takes time to invest in people's lives. It takes time to befriend them. It takes time to have a relationship. And these are all facets of discipleship. So what is the first step in becoming a disciple? It's meeting Jesus. Book of Romans says, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. There's the gospel, good news, people bringing good news, messengers. That's you and I, family. There it is. Go and tell the gospel, the good news. This is not written, by the way, to professional clergy. This is what disciples do. Disciples make disciples. Disciples share good news. Disciples go and make disciples of all nations, which is why we care so much about the Dominican Republic. See, this whole discipleship thing, this whole Jesus thing is not an American thing. It's a global thing. For God so loved the world. So we need to go to the Dominican Republic. We need to go to East Germany, where 0.5% know Jesus. 0.5%. More than 99% in that region of the world don't know Jesus. We're committed to Toledo. We're committed to Germany, to the Dominican Republic, every nation, tribe, and tongue. This is what it means to go and make disciples until all have heard the good news. Now imagine living your whole life never tasting ice cream. Man, I can barely stand the thought, people. Imagine living your whole life never experiencing air conditioning or running water or motorized transportation. I mean, these things we just take for granted and we're so grateful for them until we don't have them. We lose power or something and we realize how dependent we are. Now imagine never hearing the name of Jesus, knowing nothing of the historical figure who changed the world. Imagine never knowing anything about the cross, the empty tomb, the resurrection. Imagine being completely clueless about God's love, the invitation of salvation, the pathway to peace, the opportunity to experience forgiveness and grace. Family, we take these things for granted like it's no big deal. Familiarity breeds contempt, but there are billions with a B of people that have never even heard the name of Jesus. Never even heard the name of Jesus. It's not like they've rejected him, as many in our culture have. They've never even heard of him. They've never been introduced to him, and that's our job. That's our mission. The first part of discipleship is evangelism, proclaiming good news, inviting people into the kingdom of God, introducing them to Jesus. I have two friends, two very good friends of mine that were born in other countries, and it's been a real thrill and a privilege for me just to get to know them. I'm a student of culture. I'm very, very curious. And so journeying with these two friends from two different parts of the world, it's been great just hearing their story and sharing my story. They're not my projects. I'm not trying to force anything on them, but I do want them to meet my best friend, and I've had the privilege of introducing them to my best friend, Jesus. I want to faithfully represent what it means to be a disciple of Jesus and encourage them to follow him too. And while they haven't started that journey, I know it takes time. It takes prayer. I've known one for several years and one for almost a year. And I love to get together with them, just to hang out with them, to do sports together, to talk. They're just my friends. It's not scary. It's not intimidating. But I am intentional. Jesus said, go and make disciples. So what about you? How many unchurched friends do you have? How much time do you spend with people that are not members of First Alliance Church? How about the number of people that you interact with that you would genuinely call friends that you do life with that don't know Christ? Studies have shown that the longer you're a member of a church, the fewer and fewer non-Christian friends you have. And I have to admit, this has always been a challenge for me. It's an occupational hazard. Most of my staff, the people I work with, most of them are Christians. Okay, all of them are Christians. And so I have to go out of my way just to rub shoulders with people that don't know Christ. And I haven't always been great at this, but I can tell you that when I've taken steps, it's been really exciting. It's been really thrilling. I love talking about Jesus. I'm not really good with walking up to total strangers and saying, hello, did you know you're going to hell? I don't mean that. I'm talking about a friendship, building relationships, hanging out with people, just doing life, having fun. People, did you know that we can have fun doing life? Some Christians are the most miserable, boring, grumpy people in the world, and I think, who wants to join that team? We have good news to share. We have great news to share. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. I know for some of you, it's hard to go and make disciples. You'll never travel to East Germany. And that's okay. Can you pray for our trip? Can you help us pay for the plane tickets? Can you volunteer at Mud Hens games and help us raise money for the trip? Not all of you are called to go to Germany, but you can probably go next door. You can probably go across the street and meet your neighbor. It just amazes me how many people have never met any neighbor that they have. I mean, these are people who live right next door. I mean, within, don't even know their names. Heather and I, our one neighbor family, they moved out, and a new family moved in, and we went over to their house and brought some cookies and hung out with them a little bit. And it's just, they're not my projects, but I'm trying to build relationships. I'm trying to love on them just because they're people, they're humans. Did you know we're called to love humans? I know it's a radical concept, but it amazes me how many people don't know their next door neighbor. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. The internet, by the way, it certainly allowed us to reach people all over the planet, people far away. So in a sense, you can reach the world without a passport. In fact, being in Toledo, there are hundreds of international students, to say nothing of immigrants and refugees, just right here in our city. You don't even have to go up to DTW and take a big long flight. Volunteering with Water for Ishmael, by the way, would be a great step if you're interested in this. If the thought of reaching people from around the world, having a friend from another culture, just sharing English with someone who desperately is seeking to know it. The rest of Jesus' commission says that once people are introduced to Jesus and surrender to him, then teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, and let's never forget this, family. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I love that so much. Discipleship is more than praying a magic prayer so you can go to heaven when you die. It's a lifestyle of obedience. Christianity is not a spectator sport. Disciples make disciples, and it begins with proclaiming good news with this E-word, evangelism, that scares people so much. Evangelism. Woo! It means share, proclaim good news. Author and pastor Ed Stetzer says this of the text. He says, Jesus' last word should be our first priority. Family, we're on a mission from God. The mission is not to sing a few songs and listen to a sermon every week. It's not to be busy distributing religious goods and services. We're on a mission to make disciples, to restore God's masterpieces, to love God and others well. And the greatest way to love another human is to introduce them to Jesus, to share the good news, what we call evangelism. Now, as we finish our 40 Days of Prayer series with the Christian Missionary Alliance family, our subject is evangelism now. This E word is not only a command of Jesus, it's good news, it's a joy. It's a joy to share good news. Sharing good news is a joy. And sure, there are those out there who are imprisoned, tortured, and even killed for their faith. And I don't want to make light of that at all. In fact, I want to pause and remember those who have truly suffered because of the process of sharing good news in hostile places. Some of you are familiar with Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you go to persecution.com, they have some wonderful resources for you to think about, be aware of, and pray for the persecuted church. Because we are blessed with freedom in this country to share good news, something other people around the world can't do without fear of their life. Would you just pause right now for a moment of silent prayer for those suffering right now for sharing good news? Jesus, we pray for courage and for perseverance, for vision and hope for those suffering today. And we're so grateful for the freedoms that we have. May we never take them for granted. Amen. Now here's the thing, family. Not everyone that you share good news with is going to accept it. But that's not the point. Sharing good news is a joy. I love to talk about my grandkids. It gives me great joy. I know a lot of people, when I start talking about my grandkids, they roll their eyes and like, can we move on to something else? We know your grandkids are the most wonderful grandkids in the world, but there's other more important things in my life. Okay, fine. Of course, those of you that are grandkids, have grandkids, you know what I'm talking about. We naturally talk about what we love, our family, our pets, our sports, our teams, our hobbies. Why not our faith? I know we're not supposed to talk about religion and politics, but I think we can do it in a way that's winsome, a way that's fun, engaging, and a way that listens to the other person besides always doing the talking ourselves. See, we don't need a megaphone. We don't need to pressure anyone. Evangelism can be as easy as just sharing our story, his story. And at the end, I'm going to give you a few tools to help you share good news. But first, I just want you to catch the urgency of what's happening in our world right now. Our world is broken, desperate, and dark. People are lost, searching, and hopeless. I often say that we are called to be hope dealers. Not everyone wants hope, but many people today are struggling with anxiety, fear, depression, loneliness, and a lack of purpose. We have the solution. We have good news. We have Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I'm living in this moment, this election year, this time in history where things are falling apart, because the darker the world, the brighter the light of Jesus can shine in and through us. I used to hear people say that the greatest time to introduce people to Jesus is when there's a crisis. Boy, when your coworker, your friend, you know, they're going through a divorce, they lose their job, something happens, the doctor gives them bad news, that's the time. And that window may close, but introduce Jesus, introduce hope to them, speak to them in their despair. But right now, virtually everyone you meet is in crisis. Like, our whole world is in crisis. COVID was a big part of it, but other things have been happening since then. Our world is just broken. 2018 Cigna Health Study, well, let me just preface this. This is before the pandemic. Think about this, 2018. Before the pandemic, nearly half of Americans said they sometimes or always feel alone or left out. More than one in four rarely or never feel as though there are people who really understand them. This is your neighbor. This is your coworker. It's your family member, person across the street. In fact, loneliness is so bad that U.S. Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy said in terms of lifespan, loneliness is equivalent to smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day. People are dying because they just need a friend. Can you be a friend to someone? Can you just be a friend to somebody? That's all I'm asking you, people. You don't have to memorize the Greek and Hebrew Bible. You don't have to be a spiritual scholar. You don't have to have all the answers. Just be a friend. People are dying in our nation, in our city, because they don't have a friend. It's not just going to happen. You can't do it playing games on your phone. You need to go and make disciples. And before we get to some practical tools, let me remind you of the urgency. We need to evangelize now because people are dying physically, but even more tragically, spiritually. If you still don't believe me, Barna just released a report this past week which showed the top thing urban churches like ours can address is loneliness. I know it's hard for some of you to see that. But that top bar said that the number one thing that churches are equipped to handle and deal with, the need that churches can address, is loneliness. And the Surgeon General is urging faith communities to do so. We are uniquely equipped to meet one of the greatest needs in our city. So let's go, family. All right, so what? How do I make a friend? How do I start a conversation? I know for some of you this is really tough. I once was back here and talking to some friends many years ago, and we're just having this conversation. I said, you know, just say hi to someone. Like, and people are like, how do I do this? How do I? I'm like, just go up to that person. This is in church. I mean, we're not talking like back alley somewhere. Like, just go and say hi. You want to grab coffee sometime? First step, pray. Ask God to show you someone to love, to befriend. It might be someone next door, but it could be a coworker, a family member, the cashier at the grocery store. It could be any human. Every human you meet is a masterpiece, created in the image of God with dignity, value, and worth. And chances are, according to statistics, they could use a friend. They may be hurting, lonely, living in fear. Last fall, I was at this Christian Missionary Alliance event in Pittsburgh. And I got a chance to meet Ashley and Heather Holloman. Heather's a professor at Penn State, and she wrote a book called The Six Conversations. This book might be the best tool I've seen for engaging people in relationships. This is for introverts and extroverts, by the way. She said the four most critical things to do to foster a warm and connected conversation are to be curious, believe the best, express concern, and share your life. Now, we don't have time today to unpack all those things, but I have a special book summary for each of you. You can get it with this QR code on the screen. It's also, it should be in your flyer. Just click on that QR code. It's just a simple two-page download, PDF download. It's got some amazing resources to help you get beyond the, how are you doing? Fine. What do I do now? In fact, at the back of her book, she has, she calls it Dr. Holloman's 100 Best Questions. It's really a great book on how to ask good, engaging questions to build relationships and love well. And that's the first step to evangelism. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. In our present day, when the church has a PR crisis, we have to earn the right to be heard. Tragically, church and Christianity do not sound like good news to many in our culture. They sound like politics. They sound like judgment and condemnation. They sound like guilt and shame. They sound like boredom and stuffiness, like Kenny said last Sunday. Let's change that, family. Can we do this? Can we just befriend people? Can we have some fun? Can we do life with other people? As the music team comes up, I just want to ask the question, what would be good news in Toledo? I say the good news would be the gospel, that Jesus is Lord. He loves and died for every man, woman, and child in our city and beyond. He offers abundant life, eternal life, forgiveness, mercy, grace, peace, meaning, and purpose. He's not as concerned about where you've been, but where